Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Universal Talk. Today we have a special treat for you listeners, a two-hour discussion with a panel of highly gifted individuals. On today's show, we partner the question, what would happen if we took five individuals with a higher awareness and brought them together to discuss current events with planetary involvement? Let's present the case. First, we must consider that some of our greatest teachers, such as Jesus and the Buddha, were enlightened individuals that spoke of higher levels of consciousness, and that we are far greater beings than we have ever were led to believe. We must also consider that this planet is going through some major natural changes, as well as some not-so-natural changes. What if we were all in a time of change or transition, including the Earth? What if the times that we currently live in were the very times that have been prophesied in many of the ancient texts? What if, by raising our consciousness or vibrational frequency, the transition would be significantly smoother? In a moment, we will have a panel of guests on the show to discuss this very thing. All of my guests that are on today have been on several times, and if you would like, you may simply click on previous guests on my website to view their individual bios. In no specific order, I would like to welcome all of my guests today: Rebecca Jernigan, Ramona Thon Iyer, Jalayla Starr, and Charisse Ippoletti. Welcome to Universal Talk. So we've got Rebecca. I heard Rama. Terry, you on there? The only person we didn't get a hold of so far was Jalayla, and I'm going to have my technician here try to get a hold of her so we can have a complete cast here today, if you will. And in the meantime, we're going to continue on with this. Now, I've asked all of you last night to meditate on the current events of the planet, and would like to take a moment and ask each one of you to give us any insight or messages to relay to the world here today. I totally agree with, of course, everybody that's on here. And I just want to get it out there to whoever is listening, that anybody can do this, anyone and everyone, if you so choose. And basically, we have choices, and we're not puppets on a string, and we all have our own truths. So there's going to be various soul growths and different individuals that are listening that might be at a different level, if you will. And the only reason I go in levels is just because lack of communication. I mean, it's difficult to it's hard to communicate in words what really you know up here in your mind and what you're tapped into. But so everybody is on the same page, and as we're communicating here, the best way I can look at it is levels. And a higher level doesn't mean that you're any better than anybody else. You're just at a different soul growth is the way I look at it. And my point is, whoever's listening out there, if you so choose, all you have to do is ask. And that's the hardest thing for us to do, I mean, in some cases. A lot of times we try to take it all on ourselves and do everything ourselves, but there is actually help available to us. And we have angels, we have guides, there are star people, if you will. And this is all part of that soul growth I'm talking about, because depending where you are in your evolution of your soul growth is what your belief system is. And I had a discussion last night about truth. And when I first started this path, I thought there was one universal law or one universal truth. And once I knew that, then it would make life so much more simplistic for me, because there is only one truth. Well, in actuality, everybody has their own truth, because we're all at different levels of growth. And therefore, if you believe that, then everybody is in their own perfection, and everything is in its perfection. We've all come here to learn certain lessons, and you know, even the most evil, heinous crimes that are out there are presented to certain individuals to help them raise in their consciousness or to see something that they haven't seen before. So if you look at life that way, it makes it a lot more tolerable, if you will. And it, again, it becomes what level of consciousness you're at. So with that being said, I just wanted to give that as an intro and tell everybody that, you know what, anybody can do this. And I'd like to open up the phone lines right now And because we, you know, we have about an hour and a half left, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that have questions in regards to this. And because we have a panel of higher-minded individuals on here, it would be nice to answer some questions if anybody has any. And at this time, I'd also like to give a special thanks to Rebecca for graciously blessing us with this conference calling that, of course, is new to Universal Talk. It's something we're trying out now for the first time, and we want to thank her for doing this for us. And also, because we're utilizing her technology, the phone call to dial in is a little bit different. So I'm going to give that number here twice, 712-432-3100, and the conference number is 638-522. And I'm going to repeat it one time, 712-432-3100, and the conference number is 638-522. So, you know, for the sake of time management here, I'd like to maybe give us a direction for the discussion that we're going to have today. Maybe talk about a little bit about the earth changes, a lot of variables that contribute to the experiences that we're all having right now. And I think it would be also prudent to speak about what can be done to ease this transition. Some people call it a shift. Some people call it a transition. And then maybe towards the end of the show, get into what we can expect in the coming years. Now, of course, it's difficult to predict anything, and actually it's a lot easier to live life living in the now, so, you know, but maybe we can, you know, travel that road just a little bit towards the end, just for the curious people out there, and that's what probably got me started on this whole thing, the curiosity. So, again, if you have any questions for the panelists, or you have any thoughts you'd like addressed, give us a call. 712-432-3100, conference number 638-522, and indicate to Rebecca via the number 5. Is that correct, Rebecca? And then the star key. Thank you.
So basically, the simplest way that I could put exactly what you said was that everything is about an experience. You know, because what I see it, how I see it, even as a therapist, because I do a lot of this work as a life coach, and how I see it is, yes, people come in and they are actually working, especially when I'm doing past life regressions, to help them as a therapy, to help them see a pattern and to move away from that energy that seems to keep on coming back at them. But the whole aspect of what Joe is, or what you both were talking about, to me, is about experience. I mean, I look at my granddaughter and I see an old soul, okay, but at the same time, she's going through the processes of life, you know, on the third dimensional world. But at the same time, what do I know what's going to happen, you know, when she gets older? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, right now, she can lay her hands on somebody and the hands are hot. And people say, my God, your hands are really hot. And you can, I could see her as a future healer. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, she's still into, oh, wow, that boy was really hot. You know? So the whole aspect of it is everything that we go through is an experience to help us get to some type of understanding of what our purpose or what we're here for, whether we are, I did come in here and we are ancient, because I have met many people of higher knowing and really blow my socks off, you know, when I talk to them, and even being in their energies, I feel like I'm swooning. But at the same time, they don't know how to live in life, you know, in the third dimensional life. And it, even for myself, it took me a long time to try to get that balance. So I'm not really sure if I'm answering the same question, but another way of looking at it is how you see other people. You know, like I have this big thing about mirror imaging. If I'm looking at somebody and I'm listening to somebody and I'm getting some type of feeling from them that it's uncomfortable, sometimes I have to look at myself and see if I can figure out what that feeling is about me, because everything, even in this evolutional spiral of growth of energy, is about your experience as you're raising into this consciousness.
Right.
So it doesn't matter where you're at it.
One thing I want to jump in here and just say to everybody, it might be helpful to explain that no matter what the soul growth level, a lot of people that come in here, or individuals, if you will, spirits, come in with a veil. And imagine if you came in here knowing everything that you know outside of the 3D without the veil. You probably wouldn't want to be here, and you probably want to move on to greener pastures, if you will. So, I mean, if you would, does that help maybe explain why, no matter what soul growth you are, a lot of us come in here with almost a blank slate or a veil that's in front of our eyes that we don't see everything, because how could you raise in consciousness or learn certain lessons if you already knew? Does that make sense? Rebecca, would you like to speak on the question that we initially had there? I don't know if you guys realize we got dropped off the line here for a while.
I'll try to recall some of it. And I have to agree with Mama that there was really two questions there. The first one I want to address is the soul group question, or the soul group kind of idea. If you took, and I'm just giving some very rudimentary examples for the ease of conversation here. If you take all of us on this earth plane right now as a soul group, we all belong to the same soul group, and you take all of those beings that, you know, belong on XYZ planet, wherever that might be, and they're a soul group, right? In that soul group, you have those that have been there longer than others, as it were. Or maybe they've all been there at the same length of time, but because they have chosen to experience different planets, different life forms, they grow at the rate of which they grow, or they learn at the rate of which they learn. There's no right or wrong. You see, that was a real hard concept for me, because, you know, when I was being raised, it was ultimately the one truth, as you spoke about, Joe,
right,
and that there was right and wrong, and there was no lines between them. There was no gray areas. There was no other thing to look at,
right?
So when you get past and beyond all of those trappings of the third dimension, which is there's a right way and a wrong way, there isn't. There's the individual way. What is right for you as the individual is called discernment. And what you did yesterday, you may not do today because you've learned something else. You've asked for an experience, and that experience has told you or shown you that doesn't fit for you anymore. So you grow past it and beyond it, hopefully. That's the ultimate goal. And you move into a different level of understanding of who you are and how things work. So soul groups can also be a trapping, such as, I belong to only the angelic realm. I'm an angel, you know, incarnate, and I've never been anything else, right? We don't know that in all aspects, because that's, now you're dealing in absolutes. I don't believe there are absolutes. I believe that it's everything is mutable and changeable, and it's all about choices. And I think we have choices even as we come in. And I'm going to move into the segue into that with the whole premise of what you spoke about, which is how come some people have it easier than others. That's an interesting concept. You can look at some people, and they seem to just have what some would call the Midas touch. Everything they do, they earn money, they do this. But then you have to ask yourself, is that a reality that you yourself choose to have? Maybe they have no spiritual knowledge. Maybe they don't have the sensitivity of these changes, of this energy. That doesn't make their experience here any less or more than anyone else's. It's just different. And being on the earth, we are all different. There's many of us that have known each other in other time spaces, if you were. I call it the meeting of the kindred spirits, which means everyone that's on this call today, somewhere in their contract, and I'm going to use that term very loosely, They decided to be here at this time, as well as everyone that's listening. They decided to be here at this time for this grand cycle, these grand events, to change how things have been, or to change their own self, to raise their own vibration. But it leaves its mark, it, as it were, in the universe and in the multiverses and in the different dimensions. So everything that we do counts for something, regardless of whether or not we're looking at it as an individual. We might look at somebody else and go, wow, they live in a big mansion, they drive a Mercedes, you know, they're just a lucky dog. But really, you don't know that individual as to what their contract is. Maybe they're an observer here. There are many people that are here just to be what I call record keepers. They're here to be a participant in this, in as much as that they are record keepers of these events that are taking place. There are other tiers, such as Rama talked about, where they're teachers, and these teachers are here. Let me assist you with this, and it's up to the individual whether they choose that assistance or seek it out, or I guess grow for their own self. So there's a lot of things that are taking place on so many different levels, and it's a very, very hard question to actually define, because it's based on the individual's experience. My understanding of contracts is that we come in to do certain things, but because we're here in the now, we can choose to honor those contracts or not. It's up to the individual.
Right.
Because we're transforming ourselves as we go along. There are many people that are going to choose not to. There's nothing right or wrong about that. They may be one of the oldest souls there are. They may just be here just to be here, just so that you can touch base and you can see the differences of everyone's experience on this earth. We're all having an experience on earth, and there's not any two people here, incarnate beings, experiencing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes back to the variables that I was discussing.
Identical.
Go ahead.
Does that make sense?
I'm sorry, Rebecca, what did you say?
I said, did that make sense?
Absolutely.
I worded that?
Absolutely, because, you know, as I discussed earlier on about the variables that exist, I mean, it's hard to answer a question without having another zillion questions come out of that answer.
That's the exploration. That's the fun of it.
Right.
That's the excitement of it. It's like, wow, what more can I learn? What more can I grow? How can I, you know, how can I utilize this? What can I do?
So
and we are in very exciting times, because that is the truth of it. It's like, we can transform it if that's what our goal is. And it starts with the individual.
Right.
I get excited about this stuff.
I do too.
I do.
It's so here's what you were. Go ahead.
You know, I wanted to mention really quickly for any of those out there listening, if you do have a question for any of us, so please just use the number 5 key and star. That shows me that you've raised your hand, and we can take your call and answer your questions on the air. So it's 5 star on your keypad.
Thank you, Rebecca. Some of this has to do with a perspective and how you look at life. And if you're closed-minded and you don't look beyond yourself or within that box that you're in, that's perfectly fine. Nobody should judge you anyway. You're perfectly fine in where you're at this particular time. And if you don't get it this time, if you don't grow, you know, you'll get it the next time around. So everything is in its perfection, and everybody. And that kind of leads us into unconditional love, and I'd like to give Terry the floor to start with this. And what does unconditional, true unconditional love mean to you?
Oh, wow, and that was such a big lesson to learn. Basically, unconditional love is allowing yourself to, first of all, have to start with yourself. It's learning how to love yourself. unconditionally, to be able to, and one of the greatest gifts about learning to love yourself unconditionally is basically you start seeing yourself differently. Every experience that you choose to work towards in raising your self-esteem, whether it comes to that point of raising your self-esteem, allowing yourself to release yourself of any energies that have been holding on to you from one lifetime to another, or even in this lifetime, it should start from this one. And then, and as you're doing that, learning to love yourself unconditionally, you'll find that you see people differently. You see other people around you differently. It's like being able to, it releases you of judgment. So I have to say, it always has to come from yourself first, to the point when you start loving yourself, and it's a learned experience also. What happens is that when somebody comes at you and says something that would normally put you in tears, and you find that, wow, that just went right over your head, that means that you raised that consciousness within yourself. And you'll find that it's an experience all by itself to get to that point of loving yourself unconditionally. Unconditional love is also knowing when to end something, you know, especially in relationships. You'll find that that you may love somebody unconditionally, and if things just aren't working and things just seem to cause you a lot of chaos or cause them a lot of chaos, knowing to walk away, that's also unconditional love. There's just so many different levels of unconditional love. I'm sure all four of us could put some type of touch to it. But okay. I say it always starts with yourself.
Okay, Rama, what do you think of that?
Well, I actually really loved Terry's answer because she pointed out something that I really want to emphasize, which is there's a difference between maybe the concept of unconditional love and the implementation of unconditional love. So I don't want to talk about what unconditional love is. I want to talk about what it looks like when you practice it. What it looks like when you practice it is that you might yell at someone who needs to be yelled at and then walk away and be like, you can't do this to me, and leave, you know? Unconditional love might look like giving one beggar some money and ignoring another beggar because they're going to use that money to buy drugs and poison themselves, whereas the other beggar is going to use it to buy food. Unconditional love might look like letting one car into the line of cars that you're in when you're driving and ignoring another person who's trying to get in because they don't deserve to get in because they just beat up their child. Unconditional love might look like any number of things in practice. There's a misnomer. The word unconditional love is a misnomer. It's confusing because it gives you the impression that you should treat everyone the same, unconditional, right? Treat everyone the same. There's that false impression out there. If you don't have that impression, fine. I'm very glad you don't. For those of you that do, this is a false concept. This is trouble. If you treat everyone the same, you are inviting all kinds of trouble to your door. If you give everyone your time, forget it. You will never have any spare time. You have to pick and choose. Who do I want to interact with? You have to be very selective. And does this mean that you don't love the others? No, it means you love yourself and them, and you have to figure out where you fit in the world and who you should have around you. So unconditional love absolutely is centered on you, as Terry said, because you have to start by really loving yourself. I consider love to mean acceptance of. So self-love means accepting yourself. It doesn't mean adoring every part of you as it is now, saying it's perfect. It means accepting it and understanding it more and more. And absolute acceptance of someone else could easily mean staring at them truly and saying, oh my God, you should be nowhere near me. I need to get out of this relation. I need to minimize contact with this person. Or it could mean someone you never really paid attention to before because you weren't accepting them, now you see how much they really love you. Like, oh, wow, how did I never notice this? So love, to me, is about acceptance. And what you find when you accept someone will be absolutely different in every occasion, and the actions that you should take will always vary. So unconditional love is a concept far too vast to explain what it is. if you want to take it beyond the idea of acceptance, because in order to take it beyond the idea of acceptance, you have to know what you're accepting, and that's going to vary person to person to person. So there's no way to go for me to go beyond the idea. You need to accept and just acknowledge people who, for who they really are right now in front of you. You know, it's not love to think of someone as a very advanced soul that they really are in truth, but to not acknowledge where they are currently and to talk to them at a level they find uncomfortable because they're not quite reconnected yet. In other words, you could meet someone and say, oh, this is a person who's on my wavelength. I know it at a soul level. This person's familiar. Oh, I even remember them from a past life. But then if you start talking to them, they're just not on that wavelength because they haven't reconnected yet. Love would be to acknowledge them for who they are right now and talk to them at their current level, not to ignore who they are now and talk to who you know they truly are at their soul level. So it's really not that simple to just sort of say, oh, I'm going to love everyone and, you know, just be myself with everyone. You have to really look at who's in front of you and acknowledge them for who they are, treat them at their level, and let them grow at a comfortable pace, and don't push them beyond their comfort zone unless you have a really very good reason for doing that, because maybe they asked you to push them beyond their comfort zone. If they're not asking, though, just meet them where they're at and let them be who they are. And the only way to do that is to accept them for who they are, acknowledge them, see what's in front of you, and then act accordingly. So I hope that resolves this misconception about unconditional love, that you should go hugging and handing out flowers to everyone, because you could easily get yourself in a lot of trouble that way, because the wrong people will take advantage of you if you act that way, and it's your responsibility to protect yourself from being taken advantage of. You are not loving yourself if you just let yourself be abused by those who are happy to take all your flowers and kindness and your money and just torture you for it. You must find those who you can interact with safely and happily, and you have to love others from a distance, accept who they are, and say, well, I can't interact with you. And to others, you may have to tell them off and fight them with all your might. You will have to fight people, and you will have to win. You better win, because you're a warrior, so fight and win. Doesn't mean you have to hate the person on the inside, but you've got to accept what's in front of you. This person will take everything from you if you don't fight back, so fight. So I have no other way to describe love beyond that. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Very good.
Awesome.
Okay. So I think Jalayla Starr has just joined us. Is that correct? Are you there, Jalayla?
I am here. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about your thought about unconditional love?
Oh, boy, what a can of worms. Well, you know, I kind of agree with what, I'm sorry, just
Rama.
I was late working with a client, so I just got on board here. But the Mars, who is it?
Rama.
Who's talking?
Rama.
Rama. Hi, Rama.
Hi.
I really like a lot of what you said. I agree with that. I would go further and say, from my understanding, love is four things. Yes, it is behavior that defines what you feel, that characterizes what you feel. And the four things are the acceptance, the ability to accept others as they are and who they are, even when you don't understand or agree. Allowing, the ability to allow others to be who they are, what they are, and walk their life path, even though you may not understand or agree. It's trust. Trusting that that your loved one is being well-guided, following his or her path and learning lessons, even though you may not understand or agree. Kindness, the ability to be kind to your loved one, even though you don't understand or agree his or her choices in life. And faith, which is it's faith in their ability to change, even when it appears they cannot.
Great.
So that's my understanding of what love is.
Okay. While I have you on here, I just want to go back to, I don't know if you got my email, but I wanted everybody to kind of meditate and see what they're getting from each one of their guides or advisors. And I don't know if you had an opportunity to do this, but maybe you could just speak a little bit about what you currently are getting with the current events of the state of the planet from the Nibiruans.
Well, thank you.
we're in a holding pattern right now. And I was speaking about this with Rebecca. And when I tuned in again after our talk, Rebecca, I got a little bit more. And what I got was we're in a holding pattern because things are happening. They're like coming together, and we're waiting for them to come together. It's like you've got millions and millions of guides that have to perform certain things with people who they are guiding so that choices can be made, actions taken, that will all ultimately develop and manifest into whatever this next big thing is going to be. And what this next, we don't know what it is, but we know it's like it's going to take us to another huge crossroads as a species on this planet, and we're going to have to make a collective choice. We're either going to take the left path or the right path. We're going to either take the low road or the high road. And it's going to be another one of those events in which we are separating ourselves. You know, those who are choosing a third dimensional reality, those who are choosing a higher reality.
You know, that
those choice points that we're coming to.
That's a perfect explanation for how I've been feeling lately. Thank you so much, because I kept talking about the calm before the storm, and then this impending, it's almost like it's like, all right, you're here, just rest for a little bit, just rest, because you're going to get busy. And that's the feeling I've been having, you know, for the past, I don't know, several weeks to months. So it's refreshing to hear you say that. Thank you so much. Right. Great. Okay. So now I think what we probably should define here, if that's a word, or at least explain, because there's so many variables that come into play with this whole thing. So, I mean, obviously this is a change within our lifetime. We're experiencing it. We're here. We're, you know, at least in 3D awareness, we're alive and living our lives. Maybe we could talk about soul growth. And, you know, you take a look at some of the people around you and you're like, how come that person is here? Or why do they make these particular decisions and why do they do certain things? Do you think that some of the people that are here, that life goes or appears to go easier for them is because they are at a higher vibrational level, or they've come in with a different awareness and therefore they've come in here to help others raise in their vibrational energies at this particular time in history? And I will give the floor to Brahma.
People, and these shifts are occurring all the time, and that may be part of what you're noticing.
Okay, great. Terry, what do you think of that?
I was listening to Rama. It actually made a lot of sense. Is that you are in a rapid transition, and being your friend and knowing you so well, and being in that same conscious awareness that we shared a lot. I would also say that you are in this rapid consciousness to where, even in your own personal life, you see everything around you changing very quickly.
But
and,
more on a broad sense,
and
Terry.
And it does affect you physically.
Right, but on a broader sense, like the whole world. I mean, I feel it as a personal. I just put it out there, so I'm feeling this way. But aside from myself, and thank you for that, do you think the general population, in other words, and is going through the same thing?
Most of them are feeling the same way too, maybe in different ways.
Right.
Because even when I remember when I was in Nevada and that Chile had an earthquake, I could actually feel the waves of the earthquake underneath my feet. So every one of us would feel these earth changes, but they also are tied into us at the same time.
Right. Do you think that some of this has to do with this? I mean, talking about other variables that are involved in this, I mean, our DNA, I think everybody on the planet, plus the planet itself, the DNA and the vibrational energies and such are changing in a rapid manner at this time. Would you agree with that?
That would be, I believe that is with the shift of the energies that are passing through right now.
Right.
And we are attuning to that vibrational energy. So that's why we have body aches. That's why we have up and down mood swings, just different things. For myself, I can't speak for others, but I truly believe that that is the shift of energies that are coming through, are helping us change into this transition.
Right. Okay, Rebecca, how would you define this?
Well, there's the natural ebb and flow to energy as it shifts out in the cosmos, as it were. You know, the planets are all moving. It moves within this solar system, within this galaxy, within the universe. With that brings ebb and flow of energy, much like the moon affects the ebb and flow of the tides here on the Earth plane. These energies is, for the lack of a better way of saying it, is ramped up. It's ramped up because it's going through this intensity of the last part of this grand cycle. And this, it's not going out gently, it's going out because the new cycle that's beginning is overlapping it. So we have several different things that are actually transpiring. So as we're feeling these natural ebb and flow of energy shifts, it shifts the consciousness, it shifts the DNA, it shifts the awareness, it creates different, I guess it creates different changes depending on where an individual is in their own life path. Again, nothing being right or wrong. It's simply just changes themselves. So as we step into these feelings of, wow, something feels like it's getting ready to happen, could be that you're at the pinnacle or the height of an energy transference that has come through from all sources, whether it be from Earth, from our galaxy, from our, you know, celestial brethren and sister, from the angels, from the guides, from all sources. We're sensing this, but we're also, because we're still on this third dimensional planet, we're still trying to put this into a context that makes sense for us in this time space that we have been in, which means I feel like something is happening. Well, something is happening. Can it be seen? Can it be, felt? Well, that's up to the individual. It's, you know, there's not a right or wrong way. But we're still trying to equate it with, wow, there's something going to happen. Well, something is happening. Whether that shows itself as a physical manifestation in this reality or not. So these changes, this ebb and flow of energies is what they have been talking to me about for many years now, is to find that central balance point, because as these energies come in and come out, you have to remain balanced so that you don't get caught up in the old paradigm of, there must going to be volcanoes or earthquakes. Well, there's always been volcanoes and earthquakes, always on this planet. It can also represent personal changes from within as well as those that we consider earth changes. So for me, there's not a separation here. It's all part of all of our experience. It's what we kind of modulate, if you will, from an internal sense. Whenever I get those peaks of energy that comes in that says, wow, something feels different, I just honor it for that without having an idea that it's associated with a specific event or time. I recognize that this is the natural flow of this cycle. And I would agree with Rama that this is also about raising one's vibration, one's consciousness, because that's what these energies are for, is for you to grab a hold of them and to raise your awareness, to raise yourself out of what I call, or what the Elohim call, the construct, because this is not the truth of the reality if we so choose it. So it's really up to the individual as to what they're going to do with these ebb and flows of these changes of energy as they flux and influx in and out. I call it the ebb and flow.
Right. Great. Okay. So now I think what we probably should define here, if that's a word, or at least explain, because there's so many variables that come into play with this whole thing. So, I mean, obviously this is a change within our lifetime. We're experiencing it. We're here. We're, you know, at least in 3D awareness, we're alive and living and living our lives. Maybe we could talk about soul growth. And, you know, you take a look at some of the people around you and you're like, how come that person is here? Or why do they make these particular decisions and why do they do certain things? Do you think that some of the people that are here, that life goes or appears to go easier for them, is because they are at a higher vibrational level, or they've come in with a different awareness, and therefore they've come in here to help others raise in their vibrational energies at this particular time in history? And I will give the floor to Rama at first, and then we'll go down the list again.
So I heard your question, but can you say it again? Like, can you maybe rephrase it, or like, what exactly are you wanting to know?
Basically, as an observer, and you take a look around you, and you see people that are, it just seems like life is so easy for them, or their perspective is different than another person's, where one person is very negative and it just seems like they attract more negativity to themselves, whereas there's a person that's more positive and life just comes their way. And not to mention that they have a knowing about them. So would you say that there are different soul growths? Like, are there people that are here at a lower vibrational energy or a lower soul growth, or are a baby soul, if you will, compared to an ancient individual that's gone through all these processes over and over and over, where they come in with more experiences, and by virtue of that, they have a higher knowing, and they carry a higher vibrational energy, and therefore the law of attraction allows for them to attract more positive things to themselves.
Okay. Well, to me, that sounds like two different questions, or at least I want to answer it in two different ways, two different aspects of your question. One question, are there people here with radically different levels of soul evolution or past life experiences and past life actions leading up to their present incarnation? And I would say yes. In fact, that is the characteristic of this planet. One of the primary traits of this planet, and one of the things that we've learned as a people who help organize the playground of creation, meaning all the gods and goddesses and the angels, is that you cannot mix people of radically different states of evolution and expect it to work out, because then it becomes very hard to plan a mass future for the planet. There are people who are ready for first contact. There are people who are not. There are people who are ready for more money and less trouble. There are people who are not ready for more money and less trouble. There are people who want world peace. There are people who don't. There's no way to form a mass future when you have a group of people who don't all agree. So, yes, there are people of radically different levels of soul evolution, but I don't want to give the impression that there's, like, one right way to evolve, and some people are further along that journey and some are not. There is a divine plan to follow called nature, but you can approach it so many different ways. I don't want you to get the sense that there's a sort of one track that you need to be stuck in order to be part of creation. In actuality, there's infinite room for variety. There's certain things that don't work, like breaking the laws of creation. That just doesn't work.
The simplest way that I could put exactly what you said was that everything is about an experience. You know, because what I see it, how I see it, even as a therapist, because I do a lot of this work as a life coach, and how I see it is, yes, people come in and they are actually working, especially when I'm doing past life regressions, to help them as a therapy, to help them see a pattern and to move away from that energy that seems to keep on coming back at them. But the whole aspect of what Joe was, or what you both were talking about, to me, is about experience. I mean,
I look at my granddaughter and I see an old soul, okay? But at the same time, she's going through the processes of life, you know, on the third dimensional world. But at the same time, what do I know what's going to happen, you know, when she gets older? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, right now, she can lay her hands on somebody and her hands are hot. And people say, my God, your hands are really hot. And you can, I could see her as a future healer. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, she's still into, oh, wow, that balloon's really hot. You know? So the whole aspect of it is everything that we go through is an experience to help us get to some type of understanding of what our purpose or what we're here for. Whether we are, I did come in here and we are ancient. Because I have met many people of higher knowing and really blow my socks off, you know, when I talk to them. And even being in their energies, I feel like I'm swooning. But at the same time, they don't know how to live in life, you know, in the third dimensional life. And even for myself, it took me a long time to try to get that balance. So I'm not really sure if I'm answering the same question, but another way of looking at it is how you see other people. You know, like I have this big thing about mirror imaging. If I'm looking at somebody and I'm listening to somebody and I'm getting some type of feeling from them that is uncomfortable, sometimes I have to look at myself and see if I can figure out what that feeling is about me. Because everything, even in this evolutional spiral of growth, of energy, is about your experience as you're raising into this consciousness.
Right.
So it doesn't matter where you're at it.
One thing I want to jump in here and just say to everybody, it might be helpful to explain that no matter what the soul growth level, a lot of people that come in here, or individuals, if you will, spirits, come in with a veil. And imagine if you came in here knowing everything that you know outside of the 3D without the veil. You probably wouldn't want to be here, and you'd probably want to move on to greener pastures, if you will. So, I mean, if you would, does that help maybe explain why, no matter what soul growth you are, a lot of us come in here with almost a blank slate or a veil that's in front of our eyes that we don't see everything, because how could you raise in consciousness or learn certain lessons if you already knew? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Rebecca, would you like to speak on the question that we initially had there? I don't know if you guys realize we got dropped off the line here for a while.
I'll try to recall some of it. And I have to agree with Mama that there was really two questions there. The first one I want to address is the soul group question, or the soul group kind of idea. If you took, and I'm just giving some very rudimentary examples for the ease of conversation here. If you take all of us on this earth plane right now as a soul group, we all belong to the same soul group, and you take all of those beings that, you know, belong on XYZ planet, wherever that might be, and they're a soul group, right? In that soul group, you have those that have been there longer than others, as it were, or you've been, maybe they've all been there at the same length of time, but because they have chosen to experience different planets, different life forms, they grow at the rate of which they grow, or they learn at the rate of which they learn. There's no right or wrong. You see, that was a real hard concept for me, because, you know, when I was being raised, it was ultimately the one truth, as you spoke about, Joe.
Right.
And that there was right and wrong. And there was no lines between them. There was no gray areas. There was no other thing to look at.
Right.
Right? So when you get past and beyond all of those trappings of the third dimension, which is there's a right way and a wrong way. There isn't. There's the individual way. What is right for you as the individual is called discernment. And what you did yesterday, you may not do today because you've learned something else. You've asked for an experience, and that experience has told you or shown you that doesn't fit for you anymore. So you grow past it and beyond it, hopefully. That's the ultimate goal. And you move into a different level of understanding of who you are and how things work. So soul groups can also be a trapping, such as, I belong to only the angelic realm. I'm an angel, you know, incarnate, and I've never been anything else, right? We don't know that in all aspects, because now you're dealing with absolutes. I don't believe there are absolutes. I believe that everything is mutable and changeable, and it's all about choices. And I think we have choices even as we come in. And I'm going to move into the segue into that with the whole premise of what you spoke about, which is how come some people have it easier than others. That's an interesting concept. You can look at some people, and they seem to just have what some would call the Midas touch. Everything they do, they earn money, they do this. But then you have to ask yourself, is that a reality that you yourself choose to have? Maybe they have no spiritual knowledge. Maybe they don't have the sensitivity of these changes, of this energy. That doesn't make their experience here any less or more than anyone else's. It's just different. And being on the earth, we are all different. There's many of us that have known each other in other time spaces, if you were. I call it the meeting of the kindred spirits, which means everyone that's on this call today, somewhere in their contract, and I'm going to use that term very loosely, they decided to be here at this time as well as everyone that's listening. They've decided to be here at this time for this grand cycle, these grand events, to change how things have been, or to change their own self, to raise their own vibration. But it leaves its mark, as it were, in the universe and in the multiverses and in the different dimensions. So everything that we do counts for something, regardless of whether or not we're looking at it as an individual. We might look at somebody else and go, wow, they live in a big mansion, they drive a Mercedes, you know, they're just a lucky dog. But really, you don't know that individual as to what their contract is. Maybe they're an observer here. There are many people that are here just to be what I call record keepers. They're here to be a participant in this, in as much as that they're record keepers of these events that are taking place. There are others here, such as Rama talked about, where they're teachers. And these teachers are here, let me assist you with this, and it's up to the individual whether they choose that assistance or seek it out, or I guess grow for their own self. So there's a lot of things that are taking place on so many different levels that it's a very, very hard question to actually define, because it's based on the individual's experience. My understanding of contracts is that we come in to do certain things. But because we're here in the now, we can choose to honor those contracts or not. It's up to the individual.
Right.
Because we're transforming ourselves as we go along. There are many people that are going to choose not to. There's nothing right or wrong about that. They may be one of the oldest souls there are. They may just be here just to be here, just so that you can touch base and you can see the differences of everyone's experience on this earth. We're all having an experience on earth, and there's not any two people here, incarnate beings, experiencing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes back to the variables that I was discussing. Go ahead.
Makes sense.
I'm sorry, Rebecca, what'd you say?
I said, did that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because, you know, as I discussed earlier on about the variables that exist, I mean, it's hard to answer a question without having another zillion questions come out of that answer.
That's the exploration. That's the fun of it.
Right.
That's the excitement of it. It's like, wow, what more can I learn? What more can I grow? How can I, you know, how can I utilize this? What can I do?
So,
and we are in very exciting times, because that is the truth of it. We can transform it if that's what our goal is. And it starts with the individual.
Right.
I get excited about this stuff.
I do too, actually. It's so if you would view your go ahead.
You know, I wanted to mention really quickly for any of those out there listening, if you do have a question for any of us, so please just use the number 5 key and star. That shows me that you've raised your hand, and we can take your call and answer your questions on the air. So it's 5 star on your keypad.
Thank you, Rebecca. Some of this has to do with a perspective and how you look at life. And if you're closed-minded and you don't look beyond yourself or within that box that you're in, that's perfectly fine. Nobody should judge you anyway. You're perfectly fine in where you're at this particular time. And if you don't get it this time, or if you don't grow, you'll get it the next time around. So everything is in its perfection and everybody. And that kind of leads us into unconditional love. And I'd like to give Terry the floor to start with this. And what does true unconditional love mean to you?
Oh, wow, and that was such a big lesson to learn. Basically, unconditional love is allowing yourself to, first of all, have to start with yourself. It's learning how to love yourself unconditionally, to be able to, and one of the greatest gifts about learning to love yourself unconditionally is basically you start seeing yourself differently. Every experience that you choose to work towards in raising your self-esteem, whether it's to come to that point of raising your self-esteem, allowing yourself to release yourself of any energies that have been holding on to you from one lifetime to another, or even in this lifetime, it should start from this one. And then, and as you're doing that, learning to love yourself unconditionally, you'll find that you see people differently. You see other people around you differently. It's like being able to, it releases you of judgment. So I have to say, it always has to come from yourself first, to the point when you start loving yourself and it's a learned experience also. What happens is that when somebody comes at you and says something that would normally put you in tears, and you find that, wow, that just went right over your head, that means that you raised that consciousness within yourself. And you'll find that it's an experience all by itself to get to that point of loving yourself unconditionally. Loving, unconditional love is also knowing when to end something, especially in relationships. You'll find that that you may love somebody unconditionally, and if things just aren't working and things just seem to cause you a lot of chaos or cause them a lot of chaos, knowing to walk away, that's also unconditional love. There's just so many different levels of unconditional love. I'm sure all three of us could, all four of us could put some type of touch to it.
Okay.
But I say it always starts with yourself.
Okay, Rama, what do you think of that?
Well, I actually really loved Terry's answer because she pointed out something that I really want to emphasize, which is there's a difference between maybe the concept of unconditional love and the implementation of unconditional love. So I don't want to talk about what unconditional love is. I want to talk about what it looks like when you practice it. What it looks like when you practice it is that you might yell at someone who needs to be yelled at and then walk away and be like, you can't do this to me, and leave. Unconditional love might look like giving one beggar some money and ignoring another beggar because they're going to use that money to buy drugs and poison themselves, whereas the other beggar is going to use it to buy food. Unconditional love might look like letting one car into the line of cars that you're in when you're driving and ignoring another person who's trying to get in because they don't deserve to get in because they just beat up their child. Unconditional love might look like any number of things in practice. There's a misnomer, the word unconditional love is a misnomer, it's confusing.
because it gives you the impression that you should treat everyone the same, unconditional, right? Treat everyone the same. There's that false impression out there. If you don't have that impression, fine. I'm very glad you don't. For those of you that do, this is a false concept. This is trouble. If you treat everyone the same, you are inviting all kinds of trouble to your door. If you give everyone your time, forget it. You will never have any spare time. You have to pick and choose. Who do I want to interact with? You have to be very selective. And does this mean that you don't love the others? No, it means you love yourself and them, and you have to figure out where you fit in the world and who you should have around you. So unconditional love absolutely is centered on you, as Terry said, because you have to start by really loving yourself. I consider love to mean acceptance of. So self-love means accepting yourself. It doesn't mean adoring every part of you as it is now, saying it's perfect. It means accepting it, understanding it more and more. And absolute acceptance of someone else could easily mean staring at them truly and saying, oh my God, you should be nowhere near me. I need to get out of this relation. I need to minimize contact with this person. Or it could mean someone you never really paid attention to before because you weren't accepting them, now you see how much they really love you, like, oh wow, how did I never notice this? So love to me is about acceptance, and what you find when you accept someone will be absolutely different in every occasion, and the actions that you should take will always vary. So unconditional love is a concept far too vast to explain what it is. If you want to take it beyond the idea of acceptance, because in order to take it beyond the idea of acceptance, you have to know what you're accepting, and that's going to vary person to person to person. So there's no way to go for me to go beyond the idea. You need to accept and just acknowledge people who for who they really are right now in front of you. You know, it's not love to think of someone as a very advanced soul that they really are in truth, but to not acknowledge where they are currently and to talk to them at a level they find uncomfortable because they're not quite reconnected yet. In other words, you could meet someone and say, oh, this is a person who's on my wavelength. I know it at a soul level. This person's familiar. Oh, I even remember them from a past life. But then if you start talking to them, they're just not on that wavelength because they haven't reconnected yet. Love would be to acknowledge them for who they are right now and talk to them at their current level, not to ignore who they are now and talk to who you know they truly are at their soul level. So it's really not that simple to just sort of say, oh, I'm going to love everyone and, you know, just be myself with everyone. You have to really look at who's in front of you and acknowledge them for who they are, treat them at their level, and let them grow at a comfortable pace, and don't push them beyond their comfort zone unless you have a really very good reason for doing that, because maybe they asked you to push them beyond their comfort zone. If they're not asking, though, just meet them where they're at and let them be who they are. And the only way to do that is to accept them for who they are, acknowledge them, see what's in front of you, and then act accordingly. So I hope that resolves this misconception about unconditional love, that you should go hugging and handing out flowers to everyone, because you could easily get yourself in a lot of trouble that way. Because the wrong people will take advantage of you if you act that way, and it's your responsibility to protect yourself from being taken advantage of. You are not loving yourself if you just let yourself be abused by those who are happy to take all your flowers and kindness and your money and just torture you for it. You must find those who you can interact with safely and happily, and you have to love others from a distance, accept who they are, and say, well, I can't interact with you. And to others, you may have to tell them off and fight them with all your might. You will have to fight people, and you will have to win. You better win, because you're a warrior, so fight and win. Doesn't mean you have to hate the person on the inside, but you've got to accept what's in front of you. This person will take everything from you if you don't fight back, so fight. So I have no other way to describe love beyond that. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Very good. Very good.
Awesome.
Okay. So I think Jalayla Starr has just joined us. Is that correct? Are you there, Jalayla?
I am here. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about your thought about unconditional love?
Oh, boy, what a can of worms. Well, you know, I kind of agree with what, I'm sorry, just
Brahma.
I was late working with a client, so I just got on board here. But who is it?
Rama.
That was just talking.
Rama.
Hi, Rama.
Hi.
I really like a lot of what you said. I agree with that. I would go further and say, from my understanding, love is four things. Yes, it is behavior that defines what you feel, that characterizes what you feel. And the four things are the acceptance, the ability to accept others as they are and who they are, even when you don't understand or agree. Allowing, the ability to allow others to be who they are, what they are, and walk their life path, even though you may not understand or agree. It's trust, trusting that that your loved one is being well-guided, following his or her path, and learning lessons, even though you may not understand or agree. Kindness, the ability to be kind to your loved one, even though you don't understand or agree his or her choices in life. And faith, which is the it's faith in their ability to change, even when it appears they cannot.
Great.
So that's my understanding of what love is.
Okay. While I have you on here, I just want to go back to, I don't know if you got my my email, but I wanted everybody to kind of meditate and see what they're getting from each one of their guides or advisors. And I don't know if you had an opportunity to do this, but maybe you could just speak a little bit about what you currently are getting with the current events of the state of the planet from the Nibiruans.
Well, thank you. We're in a holding pattern right now, and I was speaking about this with Rebecca. And when I tuned in again after our talk, Rebecca, I got a little bit more. And what I got was we're in a holding pattern because things are happening. They're like coming together, and we're waiting for them to come together. It's like you've got millions and millions of guides that have to perform certain things with people who they are guiding so that choices can be made, actions taken, that will all ultimately develop and manifest into whatever this next big thing is going to be. And what this next, we don't know what it is, but we know it's like it's going to take us to another huge crossroads as a species on this planet. And we're going to have to make a collective choice. We're either going to take the left path or the right path. We're going to either take the low road or the high road. And it's going to be another one of those events in which we are separating ourselves. You know, those who are choosing a third dimensional reality, those who are choosing a higher reality.
You know,
one of those choice points that we're coming to.
That's a perfect explanation for how I've been feeling lately. Thank you so much, because I kept talking about the calm before the storm, and then this impending, it's almost like it's like, all right, you're here, just rest for a little bit, just rest, because you're going to get busy. And that's the feeling I've been having, you know, for the past, I don't know, several weeks to months. So it's refreshing to hear you say that. Thank you so much.
But if you get a cramped feeling, that means no. Or if you don't get any reaction, that also means no. So just ask your body, and she'll tell you the truth. Especially if you don't understand young girls, you should focus on
her body. I already understand. I already know the answer. Thanks.
Yeah? See, it makes it easy. I don't have to know the specific answer.
I'd love to meet you.
I'd rather let you use your own wisdom, but just give you an easy way to do it, because you've got all the answers.
Sometimes we have to be reminded. How's Joe doing there?
I think I'm back on. Are you guys, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I don't know what's going on here. I keep getting kicked off. I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this today or something.
No, don't worry about it. Really. Yeah, don't put that out there.
Well, I meant like the powers to be are trying to keep me from doing what I want to really do, because this is really fun.
Part of the energy is, you know, we talked about the good stuff and the not so good stuff in some sense, and the energies are just what they are, and we have to learn how to work through them. But as far as the unconditional love, I'll answer that now.
Thank you.
Fine. The unconditional love is really about accepting oneself, and then really accepting what other people are doing. And I have to agree, it's not about running around and hugging and kissing everyone. First of all, is that some people would get very offended by that as well, because that's not the space that they're in. That doesn't mean that in your own authentic self that you don't want to hug and kiss somebody that is open to receiving that. It's just about using discernment. I would know, consider myself, put myself in alignment, as a person that works with the military and a war. That would be against what would feel right to me. So that was using my discernment. That doesn't mean that I don't have to like what they do. And so with that being said, it's really about understanding who you are as an individual, using discernment, not judgment, different things there, and learning how to really understand how you work, how you operate, what levels of energetic information that you have, and just striving to open an awareness up that you can let go of things that hold you to a space of what we call the box. The box is a construct, and it is what then takes out of that space of unconditional love, where we're just somebody else but don't know how to drive or don't know how to dress, or that's just silliness there. That's what's happening on this earth. The term that they've used to me over for years, this is a process that we're all going through right now. It's called separating the wheat from the chaff. And that's a metaphor for these events, for the situation, for all of this that's happening on this earth at this time.
Okay. All right. So, Jalayla, are you still on with us? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So what do you think about the premise? I'm just going to change things here just a little. What do you think of the premise of, like, all the individuals on this earth at this time being children of the universe? How would you respond to that?
What do you mean by children of the universe?
Do you feel that we are all, like, energy beings that are simply here to learn and play and be in joy? Or for here to learn certain lessons? What do you think that we're all here for? Like, if someone was to wake up this morning and say, who am I? What am I doing here?
Well, I would say that you're a soul who has chosen to come here to one of the most sophisticated schools in the universe to learn the most challenging lessons with the most complicated and complex and sophisticated setups that you could ever, as a soul and creator God, ever create. And if you make that here without going crazy, hey, you're going to make a big evolution.
That's pretty good. Okay. So, Rebecca, what do you think about that?
Okay, repeat the question. I'm sorry, I was answering some technical questions.
Oh, okay. Basically, it was on the lines of us being children of the universe, or if you were to wake up this morning, or an individual was out there saying, okay, who am I? What am I doing here? I mean, I know there's more than just what's right in front of me in this box that I've been stuck into.
Well, we're all here to experience this grand shift.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. Well, we're here as observers, as participants, as
now, I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I can't hear you. So, so it looks like we dropped off here again. I don't know what happened, but
Welcome to freeconferencecalling.com. Please enter your 6-digit conference code.
Exactly what we think it is. As a matter of fact, the statement that they've made.
Please enter your 5-digit guest speaker.
And so with that becomes the great mystery that I'm working on trying to solve for my own self. Of all of that, which I think this appears to be, what is it really for me? That's how I feel with that.
Right. So do you think it's an individual thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Invalid guest speaker code.
You also believe that such as Jalayla and you and Terry and Rama, we're all here together, so obviously somewhere we've all agreed that we were going to, even if this is the only time we all get together, we've all agreed at some point, and we've honored that agreement. In other words, we didn't change our mind that we would all be present on this call at this day, or not maybe that quite that specific, to share insights, to share information, and that's what we said we were going to do, and that's the meeting of the kindred spirit.
Right.
Because even though we have different paths to arrive where we're at, and when we leave here today, we're all going to continue on with our paths, we're still here with a similar goal.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is similar. And that's just to share the information, and what people do with that information then is up to them.
Right. Okay. So, Rama, what do you think of that?
Hang on, I need to unmute him just a second.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. So, the question, as far as I understand it, was why are we all here, basically?
Basically.
Okay, good. Well, that's actually one of my favorite questions, because I can give you a sort of a different perspective on the whole thing, and I'm going to go very cosmic for a second. I want to take you back to all of you who are listening, to all the way back before this cycle of creation started. Before we started the cycle of creation, we, as the gods and goddesses, were deciding what would be the rules and what would be the goals of this new cycle of creation. And all of you who are listening were part of that council. Trust me, you were on the team of deciding how this new cycle of creation would work. You wouldn't be listening to this call otherwise. It's guaranteed. And if you're listening to this as a recording, it's also true. Trust me. So we were deciding how this cycle of creation would work, and we decided as a team that we wanted to take the structure of creation, the way nature works, to a new level, the way the code of the atom, the code of life itself. We wanted to take creation to a new level. But before we could do that, we had to resolve a lot of what I would call inefficient tendencies within creation's populations, evolutionary decisions and traits that just were not working out quite as well as they were planned to work out, and they were thus slowing down the overall growth and beautification of creation. We wanted to correct some of these inefficient tendencies so we could boost creation to a new level. So the debate was, how are we going to eradicate all these various inefficient tendencies when they're scattered all over the place? You know, things like, at the time we didn't know it necessarily, but now we know things like mass schooling, training everyone the same way, or keeping people away from nature inside of homes and disconnected from nature, all the things you see on planet Earth, and I'm going to get to that. So, but these different evolutionary inefficient tendencies were scattered all over the place. Different star people, different star nations had different problems. The thing with most star nations is there's so much goodness that you can't always see the inefficient tendency. You can't see in a world of people who are doing things so well what's not working well, or they've only just begun to do something and they haven't seen its end result yet, and it takes a long time sometimes for a inefficient tendency to become manifest and understood in people's vision, to understand what they're doing incorrectly. Again, simple things like mass schooling. Mass schooling is done all over creation. It's changing now, though, because we've seen what it does on planet Earth. And so, you know, we couldn't easily figure out what wasn't working well in creation. So we decided to funnel all of the inefficient tendencies of creation into one planet, one place, and all incarnate there and solve all these inefficient tendencies all at once. Because we figured, well, if we accelerate and confine all the inefficient tendencies of creation into one place, we'll be able to very quickly identify them, very quickly get rid of them, and then, through the resultant understanding, build a much better creation system very quickly. Now, this is how we decided to do it at the time. I have a different proposal for how we should do things in the future based on how it's worked out on planet Earth. I've actually created a much better way to do this in the future. So if you don't agree with this method of proceeding, don't worry. We have a much better one now. But this is how we chose to proceed back then. So creation started, and eventually planet Earth was formed, and all these inefficient tendencies formed here, and this is where we decided to play this little game, where we literally accelerate and confine all these inefficient evolutionary tendencies and have them manifest before us physically. Because again, we were angels, we're very powerful beings, but it's still good to see something in form, to see it manifest. So planet Earth is literally the formation in physical form of all these inefficient tendencies, so we can see them, recognize things that at one time we thought were good and fix them. So what you see on planet Earth, all of it, is a series of very powerful learning lessons. Much as Jalela said, this is a very powerful school with very powerful lessons. In fact, this is the heart of a new creation system. As much strife as you may perceive in this world, there is far greater beauty being created by this world, because we are literally using what we're learning here to build a new creation system. Now, you may be wondering, great, what does that have to do with me? And actually, it has everything to do with you, because whether you know it or not, you are participating in this project in the higher planes, contributing the data that you learn every day at night, and with that data, myself and the angels and all the others who are on this project, we are deciding upon a new set of rules and a new way for creation to run. So why are you here? Because you wanted to participate in the grandest project ever attempted, which is to build a new creation system by using one planet as an evolutionary chamber, learn a whole lot of lessons really fast, and then build a new system. And the new system is already up and running. I have had a lot to do with building this new creation system, working with the angels, and it's going very well. So you're participating in also a very successful project. So for all that you see around you, I'd like you to know this is a very successful endeavor, and anything that has ever happened on this planet that you may have considered suboptimal or unpleasant, I assure you, far greater beauty has already been created, and we've got a new system to make all of creation a very, very beautiful place. And in your life, the way you participate is examine your life, look for things that you don't think are working correctly within yourself and the way that you behave, change your behavior, evolve, and you are learning lessons of life whose implications are far vaster than you might realize. You're helping to build the new creation system, helping to bring far greater beauty to creation than you might have thought possible. So that's why we're here, that's where we're going, and it's just going to continue. We're just going to keep learning lessons faster and faster, and the state of this planet will evolve into whatever it needs to be. But in the meantime, what we're learning is so absolutely wonderful and powerful that, trust me, when this is all said and done, or maybe even from what I'm telling you, I'd like you to know you're in precisely the right place, in precisely the right time, a spot that a lot of other souls would have liked to have had because they wanted to participate so directly, but you got the seat, so please be happy about it and know that you're winning.
Well said. Well said. Terry? You still on here with us, Terry?
Actually, I couldn't say it any better.
All right. Well,
it was like, I'm sitting there, I... Actually, going back that far to help us to see, or even help everyone that is listening to see how it actually began was very interesting. And to be able to prophesize all of that information from the past, present, and future, that was awesome.
Great. Okay, so then I'm going to give you the floor then to start this next part, which we have probably about 25 minutes left. So what I'd like to do is have you maybe give some kind of insight, since you're talking about prophesizing. Maybe, what do you think is going to be playing out over the next several months, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm at a very quiet state right now, and so I feel that in reference to this great change, and I like how Rebecca says it, is that we are coming into this great or this grand opening, and that's what I feel like, is that we are coming into this grandness, because right now things are quieting down. And some of us will say it's calm before the storm, or I feel like I'm in grace right now. It's just we are exiting out of one part of this energy as we're moving into a larger energy. And this larger energy to others may look devastating, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe some planetary eruption that is going to create a major transition in humanity. I feel that could be what is coming ahead. I don't want to put any dates. I feel it soon, but otherwise, I'm just enjoying right where I'm at right now.
Well put. And I'd like Rebecca to respond to that. What do you feel about this, Rebecca?
Well, again, these ebb and flows, getting back to the ebb and flow of energy and the shifting, we are creators. Every one of us are creators. We are creating what's going to happen, and we do that by being in the now. So I'm in agreement that the stasis mode, I'll put it as a stasis mode, that many people are finding themselves in, like a respite or restful, or as Terry puts it, in the state of grace, that this is for us to get internal, to understand what we are here to contribute, to create a new way of going forward in the next period of time. Although time is here, is linear,
right?
It's ever present. So as I sit here in these ebb and flows of energy, I recognize that some of those ebb and flows are for points of my own creation. In other words, what do I want my world to look like as it pertains to all of humanity, as it pertains to that higher God here to help us to realize the change into a better place. Just like I said, they started this in this grand cycle that we're in now. The vibration was such that it was in a lower vibration. We're here to create a higher vibration existence. I think that's the best way to put that, okay, without putting any context,
right,
into it.
Okay. Jalayla, what do you think?
Hang on, I need to unmute her.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, I agree with what Carrie says and Rebecca says. I think it's so neat to be with people who are very very much on the same page. I mean, we may say it differently,
right,
and we may have different lingo, but we're basically going in the same direction with,
right,
our ideas. But I would like to add to what Rama said from a galactic, more physical perspective. Bringing it down into, you know, what physicality of living on worlds. You know, we talk about how, you know, what we're here for, and we're here to create this new way of learning, this new type of living, this new kind of environment. And I agree with that. What's happening in the future of the next several months, and this is what the Nibiruans harped on for so many years, they said there are destroyed worlds that humans lived on in the past, all the way going back to their very first home world. And the timelines of dead worlds are not non-existent. They have been woven into a new world, an existing world, to be played out, because this is part of the evolutionary path of a soul. The soul has to keep evolving, and if a soul has chosen a physical route, they have to have planets on which to incarnate and live out their life plans. And So there are four in particular destroyed worlds in which humans were heavily involved that are now tied into Earth. And those timelines, as they said back in the early or late 90s, they said those timelines will be played out, and so that the souls involved could make a different choice. So I think what we're seeing is we're going to be coming up on these choice points. And these choice points are when events occur that everyone has to make a decision about how they're going to respond to, such as a BP oil spill or 9/11. These are choice points. And based on your level of consciousness, you're going to make a particular choice, which is going to put you in a particular level, if you will, you know, of as far as like versions of reality. And the higher levels are going to experience less trauma, and the lower levels are going to experience more trauma. Well, in the next several months, we just came to a choice point, which was the BP oil spill. That's not over, but the big part of that choice point has already been completed. In other words, people made a choice about how they were going to respond. There's still cleanup work to be done. And so people have made choices about what level of reality they're going to be on as a result of that choice point. When you have a lull like this, that's basically telling you on a soul and galactic and whatever level, okay, that one's done. Now we're going to prepare for the next one. And that's what we're in. We're in that period where we're going to be preparing for the next one. So whatever it is, it's going to be a big event that we all have to make a decision on. And that, once again, is going to determine what level we get to next. So it's more like we're stepping up as these events occur. We're stepping up or stepping down based on our reaction to it. So the reaction that we're looking for to go up is a more compassionate reaction. Compassion is the ability to see something, not buy into the fear and the victimhood and the blame and all that. You can have that initial reaction, but you don't get stuck there. You go, okay, what is this really about? Let me go do my research, that type of thing. So the next several months, we're going to be seeing timeline events in which playing out these timelines. There's one for Maldek, a destroyed world in our solar system, and the one for another Earth that was here in the Pleiadian system. And these are going to be involving fake first contact scenarios, maybe China threatening to attack the missile silos around Phoenix. These are some of the choice points that we're going to be possibly presented with. May not be the exact same situation, but we're going to end up having to make a choice about the underlying root belief that were involved in those other timelines. Oh, that's not too confusing.
Nope, that's.
We're going to make our choices about where we end up.
Right. Well said, Rama.
Yep. Okay. So I very much liked what all of you are saying, and I really like how Jalayla's emphasizing that it's our choices that change the future. So just to give you all an overview, Joe's question is, what do you think about the future? And for those of you can you hear me?
I can hear him.
For those of you who think that the future is a finite thing, or that it is something that is sort of static or even slightly static, actually the future is the most variable thing there is. The future is a set of potentials. You could think of it as a series of strings or threads all shooting off in different directions, like the hairs on your head. And eventually one thread will be decided upon, or one set of threads that are all interwoven, depending on who you are. But you have to realize the future is incredibly variable. Today, if I were to try to tell you what the future is going to be, the exact times and the exact events involved could change in the next 2 days or 1 day or 40 seconds. The future is highly variable, and it's supposed to be that way. The future is the most variable thing you will ever encounter. So what do I think of the future? Well, I think, as Joyla said, we will determine it by the actions that we choose. And now I want to hone in on something that I always feel needs to be really emphasized in any of these calls. You who are listening, you passive audience members, you are active participants in this everything that I'm saying, everything that all the others are saying, Jalayla, Joe, and everybody, we are all contributing together as a team. We are all very powerful beings, and you have an incredibly powerful influence over the future based on what you choose to do now. You may not think of it this way, but just you deciding to be happy when you get up in the morning is going to change how you might affect other people's lives, and then those people will affect the lives of their children and family members, and it sort of ripples out, it propagates based on the power of your field and who you are. So if you just conscientiously choose to live your individual life to the utmost, you're contributing.
Hello? Rama dropped.
No!
Oh, Rama, come back.
Come back to us. Okay, so while he's trying to dial back in, at least it's not just me, guys. I've only been dropped 5 times this time. So maybe I'll give my opinion while we're trying to get Rama back on the line. I agree with everything he's saying, and it's great. One thing that I'd like to leave the listeners with is, depending on the perspective you hold in what is going on around you, is how well you deal with the surroundings. So, if some significant changes happen, and although I really feel that some things have to happen in order to make a major change, so in other words, major things have to happen to make a major change, in some cases, at least in the way the world is right now, and what we're trying to accomplish by making a change in the current system, if you will, I welcome it, actually. And it depends on your perspective of how you look at the event. And if you welcome it, and if you think of what blessings actually came out of this, rather than looking at it as, oh my God, a volcano just erupted, or oh my gosh, the BP oil spill. But like Jalayla said, the initial response of humanity is like, oh my God, this is terrible, and these people need to pay. Maybe that's what your perspective is. But then when you get your consciousness under control, and you relook at and revisit the situation, say, okay, well, what good came out of this? What blessings? It makes life a little easier to live. And are you back on, Rama?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so I was just giving my little opinion there. I'm going to get you back in here. But basically what I said was the opinion or the perspective that you have in regards to what is happening around you makes this transition a little bit easier if you're on a more positive note. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I don't think we often realize just how powerfully our perspective changes the way we behave. Just your attitude can really change your whole day. If you choose conscientiously, I'm going to have a wonderful day, I'm going to just be happy no matter what, and I don't care what's going on, I'm going to be happy and have fun. And then if you stick to that perspective and that decision and that attitude about life, then it really changes everything for you, and then you start to have an influence on larger levels of what's going on around you. So what is the future of the planet was the question. My answer is you're going to decide it very much based on how you choose to be today. And this, for some of you, this may sound like a cliche answer, sort of very familiar answer that you've heard before, but I encourage you to really think about it. You are not a passive audience member of planet Earth. You're not like the person in the football game who's just watching the game. You are the active maker of this reality that you are participating in. So please make well, create good things, create wonderful things, and we can overpower anything. You just need to really choose to help to create this reality and realize that you are the one deciding how your day goes. You always have this little thing called choice, which happens to be the biggest thing there is. You can choose what to perceive and what to ignore. You can't always change things that are beyond the field of your own body, but you can choose to ignore things that you don't agree with and focus on what you love. You have choice, therefore you control the future. You help to influence the future very strongly. What you choose to hold in your mental awareness creates a magnetic field around you that adds to the collective magnetic field of the planet, which changes the future. So choose to hold only beautiful, wonderful things in your awareness, and that is all that you attract into your life, and that is your only contribution to the mass future of the planet.
But choose beauty, choose joy, choose wonderful things that you can always do, and you can do it easily within your own life. So just focus on that, and you will decide the future.
Awesome. Okay, we have about 10 minutes left, and I want to give you guys all the opportunity to leave our listeners with whatever you have to leave them with your last thought, and we'll start with Rebecca.
Well, the last thought would be is that it kind of just wraps up everything that we've talked about, which is to get into the internal self and to listen to what it is that's being transmitted to you in order for you to let go of, I call it the third dimensional box that we're all in, which is, you know, that which is judgment and fear and releasing. One of the things that I wanted to share is there's a lot of people, I've received lots and lots of emails from people that are struggling in relationships from all different kinds of levels of relationships. You can have a relationship with a grocery store clerk. So I'm not just talking about family, friends, and loved ones. I'm also talking about how you interact in your day-to-day world with anybody that you would have a relationship with. So in these relationships, it's just to honor those people for who they are, honor yourself for who you are, and to recognize that everyone has a purpose here. It's up to the individual to find out what their purpose is, to get in with those that are of kindred spirit, in other words, like-minded individuals, those that are listening, those that are participants that are on this call. We are all kindred spirits here. And between all of us, and the ones that haven't heard this and won't hear this, there are still other kindred spirits out there. Get a part of the movement. Let's make the changes, because we are in this to make the changes. So the change begins from within. Find peace with that. Find settlement with that. There's a million other things that I could say, but for right now, I think that's where I'm going to leave it. It's just find it from within. Remember, you're creators of your own reality, that you can be a participant without having to get caught up in the events. You can be an observer without having total lack of compassion. It's finding that balance.
Perfect. Jalayla? Would you like to leave the listeners with anything?
Jalayla,
I'm here. I had my mute button on.
Oh, okay. Would you like to leave the listeners with anything? We got a couple minutes left.
Okay. Well, what I would like to say very quickly is we all create our own safety in the coming changes by choosing not to be in fear. That doesn't mean you're not going to react in fear, because that is very human. It's that we don't stay there. So when events happen, instead of go ahead and have your experience, but then when you've done that and you've expressed those feelings and that fear, then step out of that and then say, okay, I'm a creator, God, goddess, and I'm co-creating this. What is this about? And then get on the internet and start doing your research to find out what's really going on. And keep going until you can find a space within yourself where you're feeling much more at peace. Because everything that's going to happen in the next few years, everything is going to have a purpose. And everything is going to be a catalyst to keep you moving forward, to maybe keep you going higher and higher and higher in your awareness and your understanding and your ability to integrate light and dark. So the last thing I want to say is, remember, the dark ultimately serves a light. So the global elite, the secret government, everything they do, all the crazy stuff they do, is designed to give you more things to work beyond, because they're showing you your fears, because they're acting out your fears, because they're part of our reality and they're part of our mirror.
Okay, great. Now, Terry, I'd like to give the floor to you for a minute. And you had said that you not only did you take a moment to meditate, but you also did some automatic writing.
Yes.
I had
a visitor this morning, and so I wrote, and I kind of like asked, you know, explained that I was doing a radio talk show. Is there anything that I could give to them as a message? And so I can read it.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. All right. It says, and I have a hard time reading the writing sometimes. So anyway, child, to many of those who are awakening, this is the most blessed event of one's lifetime. Those who are in uncertainty, this is the most trying times of a lifetime. Children of light, there's many transitions that come about even in the smallest details of events. There is the glory of a new beginning. Be in the grace of the star that is shining through you, the cells to reignite this new transformation that is about to be the blessed moments of truth. A new evolution of species is emerging. Many are in transformation that feels uncomfortable and uneasy. Child, you are. Hello?
Are you there?
I can hear you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just go right back here. Many are in transformation that feels uncomfortable and uneasy. Child, you and others are an example of the process of transformation. Thus, you will find that you will not live a life that is filled with mundane boredom, depressions, illnesses, fear, stress, and anxiety. Lovingly emerging became lifted into joy, freedom, carefree optimism, and truth. Those who look for the truth shall find it. So that was the message I received.
Awesome. Okay, Rama, I'm going to have you have the final say and close the show. We have about a minute left on the blog talk, but if it phases out, we're still on the other avenue, so just keep on talking.
Okay. All right. Well, I never plan anything in advance, so let's see. What do the angels want to say? What do I want to say? Well, I wanted to hone in on one element. It's sort of like all of us and the speakers and all the listeners, we're creating this sort of tapestry of all these different energies, thoughts, and all these wonderful ideas. And one thought I'd like to emphasize is the body. Your human individual body is the universe made manifest into a physical form. And as you are wondering, you're taking in all this information from the whole show, and you're wondering, you know, how do I implement all of this? You can't intellectually take all these bits of data and all these lessons that you've learned today or in the past and intellectualize some sort of solution. You have to feel it in your physical body. So my whole work in life is around the physical body and the higher dimensional bodies, because in your form, there's great wisdom. Your body can inspire you. So I'd like to encourage you all to feel your body physically. You can do it right now if you like. You can feel any part of your body you're drawn to or the whole body. And just allow all this wisdom and ideas that you're learning to integrate into your system. You'll know what to do when you're supposed to do it. Don't worry about planning all these things in advance or worry what you've done in the past. Just enjoy your physical body and let your body guide you. You'll know what to do at the right time. You'll know what to eat. You'll know what to say. You'll know what job to get. You'll know what job to quit, who to marry, what to do. You'll know all these things. If you just feel and connect to your body is your interface with the universe. So if you feel your body, you are interacting much more so with the universe, and the universe can instruct you as well. So I encourage you all to deeply feel your bodies throughout your whole day, the rest of today, and notice how it changes your behavior. Just physically feeling your body as you move, as you breathe, and as you pass through your day. Everything will come together, in my opinion, if you do this.
That's awesome. And you know what? I totally agree with what you're saying from a medical practitioner's point of view. I really think the body is a guidance system. And the way I look at it in my day-to-day practice is when somebody comes in, and if they're not in balance, if you will, either emotionally or spiritually, and I look at the mind, body, spirit, if they're out of balance, somewhere in the body it's presented to me in a way, and not just me, but I mean the patients that can't do this for themselves come in to me for my opinion. But what you're saying is, and what we've said from the very beginning, is to empower yourself, to learn yourself inside and out, as far as spirituality and as far as the body as your guidance system, and trust in yourself. And I want to thank you all for being on the show. And I'd love to have you all back. And hopefully we can maybe come together and do this again sometime. I think we all had some fun. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay. Okay, so to all my guests, just hang on the line here while I wrap things up just for a second. Tomorrow we'll be discussing updates and future conferences dealing with exopolitics and disclosure with Stephen Bassett. Thank you all for tuning into our show. If you like the show or dislike the show, any other questions or suggestions of content for future shows, email me at universaltalking@gmail.com. Or if you missed the show and would like to listen to the content or would like to refer a friend, simply log on to my website at www.universaltalk.info. And this is Joe Mara signing off for Universal Talk.